Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Look at this beautiful, gorgeous woman. Why don't you stand? This is Lance. For those of you who don't know her, she's French. I stay because she's... I think that the last 3 years, Graham, with all the travelling we've done, we've actually got younger. So we've been living the dream. We've been getting younger. What else do you want? It's good to be with you. Thank you for feeling the same way about us being here today. I just feel that... We were just at the edge of the water before. We were just at the edge of crossing over. And Graham, as I was praying about this week all week long, one of the things I really felt is that the Holy Spirit... And by the way, I don't want to make you feel as if I'm coming as some sort of weird spiritual guy. It's just I was praying about this. And I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to prime the pumps of the deep wells. And the picture I saw was like this huge pipe and gushing waters flowing out of this huge pipe. And I'm really excited about that because I think that I think it says a lot. I think it's, you know, in itself, for me, what it says is that there are some deep wells and that the waters actually haven't gone dry in those wells. They just need to be primed. And sometimes when we go through the winter season in Europe, I mean, we're just about as close to the European winters now here. Why don't you guys just start playing that song again? Just with pads, just bring in an atmosphere. In the European winters, what happens is that you have to actually bleed all of the pipes, outdoor pipes, before the winter comes, because otherwise everything freezes over. And the pipes burst. There's actually sometimes that God actually needs to bleed us of the waters. And when he bleeds us of the water, it actually hurts because we feel empty. And he does some pipe work. When about this time last year, we were in Reunion Island, and their winter over there is around 27, 28. We were living the dream. But I really felt there's an incident that happened. There's an incident that happened where I realized that out of my waters, both bitterness and sweetness were trying to come out. Jesus says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. But James says, how can from the same well, from the same pump, how can you have both bitter and sweet? And I realized there was an incident, something happened where... The buttons were pressed at the right place in the right time, and my sweet water turned off and the bitter waters came out. How many of you have had those kind of experiences? And we went to God with Lance, and I said, I only want sweet waters. I want it to be that whenever anybody presses the button that all they will taste from me is sweet waters. And for the next 2 or 3 months, God took us through a process of emptying the waters first. There's a Psalm 18, I believe, that if it's very poetic, but if you read the Psalms, the psalmist talks about the emptying of the channels of creation. It felt as if God had emptied all the way, and that he had taken the scalpel of his word and had even gently opened up and separated soul and spirit and separated bone and marrow and gently taken out all of the bitterness before he could fill us up again. And when he filled us up again, it needed to be primed. This is what I really feel, Graham. I really feel this. I feel it from deep inside that the winter time is over and it's time to prime it. And what will come will be a gusher. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you've got your Bibles, I just want you to highlight seven parts in it. Don't worry, I'm not going to take up much more time. It's okay if you just want to hang around here at this Selah moment. All right? You guys okay to stand up? I mean, you got comfortable shoes. I have to stand up anyway, so you might as well stand up with me. So don't be shy. Just let the... Seven kind of little things to highlight in the Lord is my in Psalms 23. How many of you love Psalm 23? How many of you love the Bible? Let's just start there, yeah. Who has a birthday this week? Anybody have a birthday? I've always wanted to do this, so this has been my dream, to be able to give away a book on somebody's birthday. I wrote... These books are available. I wrote them while we were away. It's called I Am, The Blueprint of Humanity. And perhaps a bit of what I'm going to talk about is in this, but not much. So this is the book for those who like to read. Do you like to read? So this is for you. God bless you. And who apart from Lars and myself have their anniversary discs coming week? Because we do too, so this is special. Anybody have their anniversary this week? Do you like to read, sir? Here, this is a condensed version. So this is for you. And you can come and buy the big version after. They're over there. The unabridged is 25. The condensed is 15. If you both buy both of them, you get them for 30. So it's a real good deal. Thank you. I really feel honoured if you would actually come and buy some books. It makes me feel much better about myself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just highlight, I shall not want. So when I was here before, I didn't need these glasses. Now I need them, but actually right now, I don't need them. So there's something bizarre happening through it. I think it's the retina... display on my iPad that makes it I can read it without my glasses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Highlight, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Waters, I think, is a key part. You can highlight that, which means we're going to highlight eight different things. I'm not going to talk about them, but still waters. Still waters. Then he restores my soul. This is a really important part. So highlight, he restores my soul. Why don't you just highlight the whole psalm? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I wish I could unpack that, but I don't have the time. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, highlight the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. And for your rod, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Highlight that part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. You can highlight overflows. And then I'm changing to the Amplified version. So verse 6, surely goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. So you can highlight unfailing love. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. So as Graham said, we've been on quite a journey, and in the kind of 15 minutes that's left, I just want to highlight some things about the journey and hopefully bring home some things. We'll give you some things from our heart. Every single one of our journeys start a long time before we know that God's got us on a journey. How many of you know what I mean? Is that our journeys with God start a long time before we even recognize that God is on the journey with us. And there are probably some key elements of the journey that, well, I know without a doubt, and this is why I'm really happy to be here with you today, is that there are elements of the journey in my life that revolutionized my life, that actually started at the beginning of when we were here at Life Ministry Center. And the watershed moment for me was the first sunrise. The first sunrise introduced me to something that I was seeking for all my life. And that was communion, intimate communion with a tangible presence of God. And I remember that at that moment, something happened to me. I don't know if you remember, it was on the Sunday night. Marc Dupont and Sil Rinaldi, who were leading the worship, I think, Andy, you would remember that moment. There was others that were on the team here, and Marc Dupont just let me loose, and I played on my clarinet, and I felt that for the first time things shifted in me, that instead of worshiping to God, things reversed in me, and that I was actually connecting with the emotion in the heart of God, and I was able to put into music what God was feeling at that moment. And I remember feeling this mixture of delight in God, feeling delighted, but also God, just there's a sense of sorrowness at that moment that God had, and the two of them blended together, held in tension. Only music knows how to do that, because our minds don't really know how to hold, and our emotions don't know how to hold two different things that seems opposite at the same time. Music knows how to do that. I think that music is able to speak a language that our deep souls understand, that words can't express. So that happened here at Life Ministry Center. Then before we went to Hillsville, things started to happen emotionally in me, and God started to remove in our lives, in the last of my lives, God started to remove things that were excess weight or excess luggage in our life. And it actually happened before we went to Hillsville. Then we went to Hillsville and we started to pastor there. And God, I remember going to a conference with Graham Fletcher, and Graham Fletcher had a word for everybody, and I kind of shrugged. To be honest, I kind of shrugged my shoulders at his word for me, because he kind of had real long words for everybody else. He looks at me and says, "You're going to encounter the presence of God," and then he moves on, and I kind of say, "Goodness me, is that all you got for me?" But the truth of the matter is, it was the best thing ever. we started with Laurence in our time with God to... That was 6 months after Graham's prophecy. We were ministering at Hillsville, and Laurence and I would get together in the morning to have our morning time together. And I remember this, like, it was... as if God had walked into the room. And the only thing that we could say was, oh my God, Jesus is in the room. And the vocabulary, because when Jesus walks in the room, how many of you kind of feel like, if Jesus is in the room, I don't want him to go? You kind of with me? If Jesus is in the room, I don't want him to go. And so we developed a vocabulary that was, Jesus, we, Holy Spirit, we feel so... Father God, and we actually developed a vocabulary of intimacy and family. So, you know, Abba, Papa, Holy Spirit, we feel so honored by your presence. We were beginning a deeper journey from that moment on, the house of the Lord and his presence has been our dwelling place. Things didn't go the way we would have liked to in Hillsville. It was the necessary way for us. As a result of that, every single day of our life since then has been this, the presence. If you were to ask me today, what has transformed you? Because if you go to the beginning of the psalm, the beginning of the psalm starts with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We actually have to come to the shepherd with a wanting heart. And what that means is that we actually have to recognize that we are wanting, we are lacking. Then the next verse, or the next part that we highlighted is, he restores my soul. For, I want to make perhaps one of those statements that might confront you. I don't know. If it does confront you, then you can send the emails to Graham. I actually think that we've become too focused on a heaven that is outside of the today life that we enjoy. What we do is that we promise people salvation, as in, you are going to heaven. This morning I turned the TV on. I don't usually turn the TV on Sunday mornings. I really never really do. And there was a religious service, a Christian service, and they had Mercy Me singing one of my favorite songs, Imagine. I Can Only Imagine. And I Can Only Imagine is about imagining what heaven would be like. And as I looked at those words, and as I was listening to him sing, I realized that what he is singing about for something that's in eternity after he dies, I'm actually living it now. You know, he talks about, I will see the glory of God, and I'm saying, mate, I want to introduce you to the glory of God. He's saying, I will dance before my King. And I'm saying, this is the journey that God wants to take us on, not tomorrow when I die, but today, now. It's available to us. But what needs to happen is that we need to get to the place where we come wanting to him, and actually we come to this place by the river where he can restore our soul. That you know, the amplified version says he restores my life. It actually means I didn't have a life before. Here's what I realized. The life that I had wasn't mine. It was a necessary part of my journey, but the life that I had, the David that you guys knew before, was a persona, was a mask. Now, don't point your finger at me. Let's look at our own lives. I'm happy for you to point the finger at me. It doesn't matter. I'm kind of okay about that. Yeah, when I was in Hillsville, I was pastoring with a mask on. There are two environments in my life that I can't escape and that I love very much, but that have broken me. And I will tell you why they have broken me. Because I lived with a mask on that wasn't me. A persona. Family and church are two places that have hurt me the most. And the reason why it hurt me the most is because I loved those places very dearly, but also because I wasn't being myself. And the third reason why that place broke me is because there are things that we cannot escape, and they happen in the places we cannot escape. And so the mask had to come down. I find it very, very interesting, though, that it's when I was wearing the mask and in the dark places of my life that my gifts developed. He talks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why don't we just call that valley the valley of the shadows? Because in the shadows, death hides. In the shadows of our lives, we have to walk through those shadows. I think too often we preach a Christianity that is about dealing with the persona. And you know what? I actually managed to get the persona to act just right. The persona looked actually pretty good. The persona, I mean, some of you could have looked beyond the persona, but the persona was able to manage sin quite well. The persona was able to actually put in place some behavior managements that was actually quite astounding to be truthful. And you know what? The stuff that's in the shadows was actually not what we call sin. It was hurt. It was brokenness. Does that make sense to you? We've got to go through the valley of the shadows, and in the shadows is where we discover the hurt and the brokenness, because the message of Christianity is not a message of salvation from sin, or it's not a message of behavioral management. It's actually a message of healing. It's actually a message that takes us into the grave with Jesus, into death with Jesus, where we've stopped trying to be successful, where we stop trying to put up a persona of success and everything is okay. Praise the Lord. How was your week? Oh, brother, God is good. Praise the God. When inside I'm hurting, when inside I'm broken, when inside there are some things, I realize that I carried something that I didn't even know I was carrying. And maybe some of you could have said, well, we saw it. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I had the persona looking really good. But I realized that I carried some deep, deep shame towards the people that I love the most in the shadows. And I had to go through the valley of the shadows and deal with that and let the Holy Spirit deal with it. In the book, I talk about three elements that I don't use the word shadows in the book, but three things in our soul that we weren't prepared for when we were cut from our relationship with God. And it's lies, fear and shame. Those are the things that lurk in the shadows. It's a real interesting thing that Satan, who is our enemy, or our enemy has three names. Our enemy has three names. He has the name of Lucifer, which is the angel of light. And what he does is that the Bible says that he disguises himself as an angel of light, but he is darkness. He is actually lies. He's the liar. The devil, which is the tempter, and he takes us to places that develop fear in our lives. And then Satan, who is the accuser. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not talking about a trinity of enemies here. I'm just saying that these are the different names he takes on. And as Satan, the accuser, he puts shame, deep, deep shame into our lives. We have to go through the valley of the shadows to cut off the head of our enemies. And those are our enemies. Lies, fear and shame. Lies, fear and shame twists things that are beautiful and makes them look evil. When you come out of the other side of the valley, you begin to see beauty in a brand new way. You actually, your cup overflows with love. You begin to love in a way that you weren't able to love. But, you know, when Jesus says to love your neighbor and to love God, you know, the New Testament, it's written, we read it because our mindset is so in this box. We read everything as a commandment. How many of you, how has it worked for you? How does it work for you if I tell you, you must love me? Does it work? Because it doesn't work for me. The moment that somebody says, you must love me, is the moment that something happens deep inside of me that says, really? It's impossible to love on the basis of a commandment. Love can truly exist in a place of freedom. And I can only truly love when I am truly free to be myself. And where can I be truly free to be myself? It's in a place where I have found healing in my soul. When I was being the persona, I wasn't free to be myself and I wasn't free to be loved and free to love. I find it really interesting that there's a correlation or there is this correlation. The level at which I have learned to love myself is the level at which I know God loves me, and then becomes the level at which love follows me and overflows from me. If I have, and I'm not talking about loving, there's, you know, Bible's full of paradoxes. I'm not talking about loving the persona. I think we need to hate the persona and love who we truly are, because we are all sons of God. I am a son of God. Can you truly declare that I am a son of God? I really know who I am. I am a son of God. I am beautiful. I am created in his image. I know that there are still things in the shadows, but it's okay because I fear no evil. They have no more power over me. The shadows have no more power over me. And that's the journey of our last 3 years. I mean, there's a journey of going around Australia. At the end of going around Australia, I was in a place called Shalom, We got to Sydney, and I said to Lawrence, we can go straight back to Melbourne. I found what this first part of the journey was about. I didn't know there was a second part of the journey after that. But I found what the first part was being rested by the waters. And to find a place of shalom, peace, where I was at peace with myself and with God and with others. And you know what? The world doesn't look half that bad. The world doesn't look actually a tenth that bad when you start to look at the world seated from within the Trinity and looking out there and starting to see how they see things. I had to learn to love myself, and I had to go through a transformation. I said to Graham, when we had a chat after coming back from Mauritius, I said, the 3 years have been the most transformative years of my life. And it's still happening, you know. It's only about 2 weeks ago that God revealed to me this shame that I was carrying, like a big fat wart on my nose. And I was getting out the makeup to hide it. I didn't know. I don't think that there's ever a moment where we stop doing the shadow work. Because the moment we stop doing the shadow work is the moment that then we lift ourselves on a pedestal and pride gets in the way. I think it's far more easier to do life where we know what's lurking in the shadows. Not given the shadows power, because I fear no evil. For you are with me. Does that make sense to you? So there's never a moment where God is not with us. Unfailing love shall follow me. I love that all the days of my life. The house of the Lord at his presence shall be my dwelling place. So if you ask me today, because people have asked me, what has been the key? I have only one key. I have only one key, and it's this. The house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. I don't have another key. You know, I wish that my key was... Here comes another one of those that you can write to Graham about. I wish, and don't get me wrong, because I've been a preacher all my life and I love the Word of God and I've sought the Word of God with every bit of my, with all of my energy. And it's actually when I was really living the persona that to be accepted by my peers, I turned to the Word of God. And so that was a good thing. Right? The problem is we've got to learn to distrust the broken heart. See, my interpretation of the Word was not always correct. The Word is always correct. The Bible is always correct. Carries within it the seed of truth. But my interpretation is not always correct. And so I had to learn to distrust my interpretation. I had to learn to distrust my certainties. So the key for me to find healing wasn't going directly to the Word. It was going first into the presence and letting God speak to me from the presence. Because otherwise, if I went straight to the Word without God's presence accompanying me, my interpretations could have led me to places that would have been quite destructive for me. So if there's anything that I can leave with you today, is I wish I had that time, Graham, where we could do sunrise again. Because that's the place. That's where we begin to dig deep. The reality is, it's the stuff that was in the shadows that clogged up the deep wells. That's the stuff that was in the shadows of my life. And the waters at the spring, they were clean. But when the waters came through the shadows, they came out bitter. Yeah? Jesus says, stop. That's what he said. Because of time. I'll just finish that thought. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. The shadows get in the way of that.